Please do take your seats. All the way through summer, we are having a mini-series called The Summer of Love, and we're continuing that today. And in about 2 minutes' time, Tim is going to come and share God's word with us. But before that, I want to share today's Bible reading with you, which comes from Luke chapter 8. If you've got a Bible, why don't you open it or turn it on and head to Luke chapter 8 now. And I'm going to be reading the latest verses from it, from verse 42 down to verse 48. And it's an incredible passage that I have absolutely loved preaching on in the past. And I'm really excited to hear what Tim has to say about it in a couple of minutes' time. But this is Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who was there, who had been the subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace."
Thank you, Tom. Well, I had the privilege of pressing the buttons this morning for the YouTube feed, so apologies to anybody watching when it didn't quite work as it probably should have done, but in the car park, nobody noticed any difference, did you? So we're okay, and everything's working very smoothly. But thanks to Tom today and to all those who have helped over our technical work over the time we've been online as well. And thank you for joining us this morning online. It's great to have you with us here again today. Well, thanks, Tom, for just saying that you've preached on this many times. I'm feeling a little bit in fear and trepidation now in case I say anything wrong that isn't right. So he's ticking me off as I go, and he'll throw something at me if something is wrong. But anyway, I wanted to ask you this morning, have you ever been lost? I mean, literally lost. I mean, you just didn't know either where you were, how you were going to get to where you were. Some of you here, I'm guessing you would just say, if somebody said you were lost, you were saying, "No, I'm just taking the scenic route today." Anybody done that? Yeah, you can point to the person who makes excuses for appearing to be lost and just carrying on regardless, assuming that nobody will notice. You may have felt lost when you've listened to a sermon a few times, I'm guessing, have you? I mean, you know, the preacher can often wander around quite aimlessly, and you're never quite sure where it's going to go. You've no idea how he's going to get back to where it was that he's meant to be, or even make sense at all. But that's what happens most times when I preach a sermon, in my mind anyway. But hopefully you'll hang on in there and won't get too lost with this story today. Of course, when we were used to be seeking directions, of course, some of you will remember that you only used to have the sun and the moon and the stars to navigate by, don't you? Some of you remember those days, you know, the sextant that you brought out, you know, from the glove compartment, and then you would find your way home very easily. Then maps appeared, of course, and I know it sounds a bit quaint now, a map, and some of you listening may not even know what a map is now, but you know, in the old days, we used to buy a map, and you'd have somebody sat next to you who would read the map for you, interpret it, lefts and rights and everything that had to be done. And you never took notice of them either, did you? Who took notice of the person with the map? No, I'm sure I'm not alone in that one. And then, of course, if all else failed, you would stop, wouldn't you, and ask somebody who looked as if they might be local to give you directions. Have you done that as well, I'm guessing? And you've always picked the wrong person, I'm guessing, because they haven't got a clue where they are. And in fact, the best answer I always received from somebody was where they would scratch their chin a little bit when you ask them directions, and then they would say, "Well, I wouldn't start from here," which is pretty useless advice for when you're lost, isn't it? You know, because that is the only place that you're starting from. But now, of course, now we have sat navs, don't we? And we never ever get lost now, do we? Never ever get lost. I mean, you always know where you are, you always know how you're going to get to where you're going, and sat navs are the answer that we've been looking for. In fact, you'll never get lost again, will you? But I wonder this morning whether you've ever felt lost. Maybe you feel lost now. Maybe today you're feeling quite lost and unsure. And having come through so far this pandemic with still a little journey to go, I'm guessing that some of us maybe have felt a little bit lost during this time when the things that we knew, the things that were familiar, the things that were certain have sort of been stripped away from us. Or maybe a relationship has failed during this time and you're not quite sure where the next stage in your journey is, what direction that you're taking. Or maybe a career move that you hoped was going to happen but that door closed. Or maybe a university place that you're not sure now whether it is the right thing for you. So many things have happened that have sort of shaken our sense of direction and where we are. And for many of us, we're trying to find perhaps a new direction. Maybe for ourselves, for our workplaces, maybe even for our church as well. Of what is it, God, that you're doing and how can we catch up with you and be obedient to you as well? But here's good news for you today if you feel lost. Because even before Jesus had a chance to wipe the crumbs from his mouth after finishing his tea with Zacchaeus that day, he said some words that bring hope to every one of us, whether we're lost at the moment or whether in some future time we'll feel lost. He said some most significant words that I think for all of us we need to hear. He said this, Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man," his own self-description of himself, "the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That is great news, isn't it? He came to seek and to save the lost. I mean, he had told stories about a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost son. He demonstrated countless times that the people who felt lost were part of the story. He came to seek with a single purpose of finding, and to save, to heal, to restore, to rescue, to love those who had lost sense of direction or purpose in their lives. To everyone who listened that day, he said, "You don't have to be lost. You can be loved." And we're in this summer series, as Tom said, the summer of love. And today I just want to talk about what it is to be loved. How Jesus wanted us to feel and know that love so that we didn't feel that sense of loss, but we had this experience of love instead. And one of the demonstrations of love that was read to us earlier was the woman who touched the edge of the cloak of Jesus. The opening of this story is so incredibly powerful. If you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 8:41, Jesus has just received news that the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, who was a synagogue leader, she was dying. Jairus himself had come to Jesus in that moment of anxiety and pleaded with Jesus to come back to his house with him to sort out the problem. And then Luke says, as Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, as long as the little girl had been alive, she came up behind Jesus and touched the tassel on the edge of his cloak, and the bleeding stopped immediately. Despite the crush of the crowd that day, Jesus knew an individual had enough faith and had deliberately reached out and touched him in that moment. And Luke reveals for us in his story that the woman who was on the edge of society because of her bleeding had risked everything on that particular day to feel and know the love of Jesus. She knew she was lost. There was no way back into society without healing. She didn't want to stay lost. And she knew that here was someone who could love her instead. She'd stood on the edge of the crowd. She'd seen Jesus respond to the synagogue leader that day. She'd probably stood on the edge of the crowd listening to the stories that Jesus told of a loving father who would welcome a wayward child home. And she understood that she didn't need to stay lost, that she could be loved instead. And so today, if you're lost, if you're feeling lost, I want you to know today that you are loved. How do I know that? How can you know that as well? Well, firstly, I want to say that you matter to God. You matter to him. In the chaos of the crowd bumping and barging, Jesus stops and notices. And he says, "Who touched me?" Jesus revealed to her and to the crowd in that moment, you matter enough for me to stop what I'm doing and to ask if you'll show yourself on this particular day. It's a question we all ask. It's a question society asks. Do I matter? I'm sure many of us have asked that through our journey. Do I matter? I mean, here's this woman, so many barriers to climb over that day. This was the culmination of 12 years of pain. The footnote in the Bible says that she'd spent everything she had on doctors who couldn't heal her. She would have suffered exclusion from her religious society, marginalized from her community. She continually had to undertake the prescribed purification ritual. It was debilitating, it was demeaning, it was damaging to her. But on this day, she demonstrated that Jesus could be the source of love that would give her a future. If we don't feel loved, it's because there are barriers often to how our life is turning out. Barriers that stop us from understanding who Jesus is and why we matter to him. What is crowding in on us that is taking our attention away, stopping us come to that place of love? Some days it's hard to push through. But on that day, this woman overcame all those feelings of the past, overcame all the feelings of a position in that community, overcame her fears and her doubts. She stopped relying on other things and she reached out because she knew she mattered to Jesus. She believed there was healing in his wings that day, on that edge of his cloak. And sure enough, she was healed. She mattered that much that her life was transformed. See, lost people reach out to Jesus. And on that day, two lost people reached out, Jairus and the woman. They discovered that they mattered so much that Jesus would look them in the eye and would love them in return. I mean, Jairus, he was a somebody in that community. This woman was a nobody. Jairus had a name. This woman, we don't know what her name was. The crowd opened up for Jairus. The crowd tried to stop that woman get to Jesus. He publicly recognized who Jesus was as he fell on his knees before him. The woman, she secretly and privately reached out. And Jesus healed in that moment. Jairus was as lost as the woman that day, because he was without Jesus until the moment when he realized how much he mattered and how much he was loved. I mean, on that day, Jairus put aside his position. He put aside his reputation and he came and flung himself at Jesus' feet. And he got the answer that he was looking for from Jesus, not from his status, not from his wealth, not from his position, but from Jesus who loved him and just loved him. See, who we think we are or who we think we're not, it doesn't matter when it comes to who Jesus is. It doesn't get in the way of the fact that we matter to him. Too often we're looking to God to change our circumstances when God all the time is looking to use our circumstances to change us. You are loved. Whether on your knees, publicly, or stretching out a hand privately, you matter to Jesus. Please don't stay lost. Just be loved. And I think the other thing that transformed those people that day was to know that not only did they matter, but they were also included as well. Have you ever carried a label, perhaps? I mean, looking around, some of you now, you've got labels on the outside of your clothes. Do you remember the day when your label was on the inside of your clothes? It had your name on, and that was it. But now, of course, labels are on the outside of our clothes, just to say, you know, walking advertising boards, of course, aren't we? Very, very clever. But have you had a label attached to you by somebody else? Have you been given a name that perhaps for that person defined who you were? And labels can hurt, of course, can't they? They can damage us. Just imagine the crowd that day saying, that's the woman who bleeds all the time. We don't even know her name. That's the woman who has spent all her money on doctors and she's still not well. That's the woman who's unclean. Don't touch her. She's been like that for 12 years. You see how labels can hurt. It might be someone's called you a doormat during your life, or the lazy one, perhaps. I was always labelled in my school reports, doing well could do better, and I guess that's carried on with me through my life, really. Doing well could do better. Or maybe you were described as the hothead, maybe. I'd love to know who you are, the hotheads, because I'd love to know. Or someone who's not good with money, maybe you were described as that one day. Or maybe you were the party animal, maybe. No hands going up just at the moment, although a few are itching to go up, I'm sure. Or maybe you were just the average one, were you? Maybe just average. Nothing wrong with being average, by the way. But other people's voices can take root in our lives, can't they? What other people say about us can actually dig very deeply into us. They can become our own voice if we're not careful. But Jesus has something very different to say to every one of us. The woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. And in the presence of everyone there, she told her story. She went public. Why? Well, because she touched him and she'd been healed. She knew that she was included now. Nothing stopping her from being excluded from the love of God. The label had gone now. She was a different person. She was a child loved by Jesus. And I imagine Jesus reaching down to her on her knees and touching her. After 12 years of probably no one touching her, Jesus would reach down and touch her. After 12 years of being excluded, he lifted her back to her feet, healed, whole, brand new again. And Jesus says to her in that moment, you are loved, not labeled. You're loved. And there's a new name for her as well. Did you notice Luke chapter 8, verse 48? She got a name, daughter. Wow, can you feel the tension of that moment? Daughter. A name that says you matter. A name that says you're included. You're loved, not lost. See, when we refuse to be defined by what others say about us, when we listen to what Jesus has to say about us, then we can move forward with a new name, son, daughter of the living God. There's no need to stay lost. You can stay loved instead, because you matter and you're included. Perhaps you don't feel today as if you deserve a new name. Well, give yourself a chance to grow into it, won't you? You know, Peter, when Jesus called him the rock, I mean, he was far from being a rock that day or for many days afterwards. But you know what? Jesus saw something in him and he knew that Peter would grow into the name. So if you don't feel like a son or daughter of God this morning, give yourself a chance to grow into the name, because that's who you are. Because Jesus says that's who you are. You're much more than anything you have been, more than any label that has ever been attached to you, by others or by yourself. You are included and loved. Yeah, Paul picked up this theme in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said this, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Anyone. Did you hear that? Anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been, where you've come from, how bad your past was, what labels you carry. Anyone who belongs to Christ. If you've said sorry for the things that you've done wrong, if you've acknowledged that Jesus is the one who is healer, forgiver, leader, rescuer, restorer, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You matter and you're included. And that can be a turning point for your life today and every day, as it was for Jairus, as it was for the woman, the daughter of the living God. No one goes unnoticed by Jesus. Anyone who reaches out for a new future will receive it. Be loved today, won't you? Be loved. Jesus has overcome any barrier that is stopping you from being loved by him today. And so may today be your day of knowing him. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing together in a moment to express Please excuse the lawnmowers, won't you? They were probably Harley Davidsons, I don't know. But anyway, they're included. And so are you. And so we're going to pray. And I want to invite you to pray this morning. Pray that you would know the love of Jesus in your life right now. There's healing in his wings for you if you'll just reach out. Don't let anything stop you from receiving his love. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the full extent of your love as seen in Jesus. I pray that you'll reveal your power into the lives of all those who seek you today. For those who on their own reach out to touch you. For those who publicly fall on their knees to acknowledge you as the Saviour of their lives. And for any of us who feel lost today, I pray that we'll come home to the welcome of the Father and be loved today instead. Jesus, you gave your life so that we might have life. Today we give you our lives. We long to walk with you to the future you have prepared for us that starts today. We turn around and look to you. We let go of the things that have stopped us coming into your presence, whether our own feeling of dignity or of self-sufficiency, of the fact that we feel we don't deserve it or we haven't earned it. Today you say, come, and you invite us in. Help us to feel that love today, poured out into our hearts through the presence of your Holy Spirit, and receive your peace, your shalom, healing and wholeness today. Come, Holy Spirit, do a new work in us. We thank you for Jesus and his love. In your name, amen.